You saw the movie Sideways this weekend.
I did, yeah. That was a good movie. You know, I'd heard so much about it, so.
Right, it's one of those movies that if you missed it, you have to rent it because it's become almost like a cult classic.
Yeah, but you know, for a low-budget movie, man, talk about successful and very entertaining. I mean, a couple of those scenes especially.
Did you like the wallet scene?
Yeah.
Were you watching it with your wife?
No, I was.
Oh, good, because women hate that scene.
No, I was watching it with a buddy. That was actually the perfect.
Did you see it?
Yeah, that was the one scene I just couldn't watch.
Yeah, it's a look away kind of a deal for women.
The ending puzzled me a little.
Guys freeze frame that scene.
Yeah. I know,
over and
I
over
know.
Again.
And
yeah.
Say, see, honey, I look better than
that. That actress was one of the bravest women on the planet.
I'll bet she was a porn actress.
The waitress?
Yeah.
No.
She's
yes.
not a porn.
I'll bet you anything.
No. Why?
Because
she talked dirty during sex, and you have to be a porn star to talk dirty during sex?
She did talk dirty. We don't want to give away too much.
No, that's not what I mean. Just because she was, it's hard to find actors and actresses to be willing to take all their clothes off and be that explicit in a normal film.
You know, you're right.
Well, this was kind of a art movie. I mean, this was one of those.
Yeah, it's for art.
Yeah, it was art nudity. It really was.
Meryl Streep will talk dirty to you if she thinks there's an Oscar at the end of the day.
And it was nominated for Best Movie, I think, wasn't it?
It was a nominee for Best Film. It won for Best Original Screenplay. Virginia Madsen was nominated for Best Actress.
Actress's name is Missy Doty, and no, she's not a porn star.
Darn it.
You looked her up.
Yeah.
I mean, normal women do that.
I don't think.
Yeah, you could never, right? Even faking it. No.
I don't think people her size make a living at porn, usually. I mean, maybe some do, but, I mean, she's not your classic beautiful person, you know.
You're at Chunky Monkey 5, you might see a shot of her in there, but that's about it.
She was, however, on an episode of Shasta McNasty, so does that count? It's kind of
what is that?
Shasta McNasty.
Remember that show?
Shasta McNasty?
Yeah, it was Gary Busey's son had a show. Jake Busey had a show. Kind of, was he a detective in that show?
I never saw it.
Yeah.
It's a funny name, though.
Maybe they just did a search on actresses that have been in something called Nasty, and that's how they got it.
McNasty.
So the wallet scene was great, but then at the end of the movie...
Should we talk about the end of the movie?
Can we? Some people haven't seen it yet. I'll tell you what, we'll talk about it tomorrow at this time. So you
last
have one
call.
Night, last call to see the movie.
Go rent it.
Because
something happens at the end of the movie, and Joe says he believes one thing happens, but everybody sees a different thing happening at the end.
Yeah, we talked to four people, and two of you felt the same way, but two of us thought totally different thing happened. So.
All right, tomorrow at this time, we'll ask you, and we'll set it up so even if you didn't see it, you could tell us what you think happens.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Movie is really great. Two guys go on a guy trip of total debauchery. One of them, as always in total debauchery, by the way, one of them was the unwilling participant. He was like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this, okay, but he
See,
didn't leave.
Not, that's not how I got out of it at all.
You didn't get that?
No, not at all. It was one guy, it was two guys going out on a find a guy's weekend of bonding. To do just straight guy stuff.
Right, that's what it was intended
to be. But the groom-to-be had the agenda of...
debauchery.
Right. The other guy, it wasn't debauchery weekend for him. He had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, but my point is that it was a week of total debauchery, and the good guy, the alleged good guy, chose to stay. He could have left at any time. Do you know what I mean? I went with a friend of mine once, and he began to commit a crime.
Right.
And I was this guy. I stayed many, many years ago, and that's why I identified with our poor, hapless character here, is because I realized that I needed companionship so bad that I had no standard for maintaining
anybody.
It. Yes,
oh,
if
man.
Someone was just willing to hang out with me, I had to be there no matter if they were going to rob a bank, it didn't matter.
Wow.
Plus, he was his best man. I mean,
that's,
he was kind of responsible.
If you blow out on the guy...
But you can unbe the best man.
Not within three days of the wedding.
It's not a lot of paperwork involved to not be the best man.
Not within 3 days of the wedding.
Yes,
you
can.
No.
If the guy can have an affair within 3 days of the wedding, certainly you can say, I'm not going to put on my suit.
But as a friend, you got to have his back. You can't blow his whole gig. Why'd you walk out on him?
Oh, he kept wanting to play golf. I wouldn't be seen with a guy who wanted to play that much golf.
You know what I mean? You couldn't just pick up and run on the guy.
I think you have to be willing and able to walk out on a friend if they violate your moral principles. You disagree?
Well, what did your moral principles have anything to do with their wedding?
If I'm... all right, we can go this far, and we'll ask people what they think. If I'm the best man of a guy, and he's getting married this Sunday, and I find out that he's cheating with anything that moves this week because he thinks that's the last, that's the, what you do the week before you get married, I cancel. I'm not his best man anymore.
Wow.
That's a wow? How is that a
I'm
wow?
I'm impressed.
How is that a wow? That's
You're throwing him under the bus.
He's throwing himself under the bus.
But most guys won't stand up to their friends like that. I have never seen a guy who says, you're a cheater. Well, I refuse to be associated with you then. I think it would be great if you did do that. In fact, I think everyone should do that.
Boy, you know, I don't think I would perform his ceremony, but being the best man, I wouldn't be the preacher, you know, if I did
You'd
that,
be the best man for a total scoundrel.
Well, I don't know if... You know, if that's the way he always had been, that's a tough one.
What would you do? 1-800-252-1025. I thought about it, and in my younger days, I would have stayed with this guy and during his debauchery week. But now I think that if I knew anybody like that, I would uninvite myself to his wedding, and I would cease to be his best man. Has anything like that happened to any of you? And if it did, what would you do? Jim in Puyallup.
Good morning. Yeah, hey, I was telling I heard your story, and I had that happen to me. It was actually my older brother was getting married. He asked me to be his best man because we've always been best friends. And we went out and did the bachelor party thing and all that, and he just couldn't keep his hands off the merchandise. And, you know, I told him, you know, I couldn't go through with being his best man because his fiance was a terrific lady, and I just backed out on him, and I made up some excuse. I told him I wouldn't, that, you know, he really should go to his fiance and tell her the truth, but he never did.
So he did get married?
Hello?
He did get married?
Well, they got married, but after about a year and a half, she caught him cheating on her. And got divorced.
Yeah.
And actually, the strange thing was, is I went out with her for a while after that.
Yeah.
We had a pretty good relationship going, and then she got transferred overseas for her work, and I wasn't in a position where I could
chase her.
Wow! So you ended up with her.
Yeah, and I think we probably could have gotten married because she's a super lady, but she just, like I said, she went overseas and. She was pretty happy doing what she was doing over there, and I was pretty content with my career here in the States. I just wasn't willing to uproot myself, and I didn't expect her to, you know, turn down her offer. So,
yeah, you weren't willing to uproot yourself. You weren't willing to stand up to him. You weren't willing to tell her the truth. You see how this might have...
It wasn't my place to tell her the truth. Her fiance.
She's a super lady, and you knew what kind of guy this was. Couldn't you have saved her a year and a half of pure misery?
Well, you know, when I was asked, about it, because she did ask me about it, and I said, you know, you need to talk to him about this because he has some stuff he needs to tell you, and that's all I said. You know, I made it. I didn't kick him out right to say, you know, he's been screwing around on you, but I probably should have. To be really honest.
Nah, I don't think you should have.
You know,
I
my brother.
I think she was going in. I think you did. You did great, Jim.
And, you know, the thing was is that she did ask him about it, and he was such a charming kind of dude that, you know, he just talked his way right through it, made it sound like it wasn't any big deal, and just, you know, smacking some chick on the butt or something.
Yep.
She's
got a bride in her mouth, yeah. Hey, it sounds like nothing you could have done would have woke her up.
No, Jim, yeah. Thank you very much. 1-800-252-1025. In the movie Sideways, the guy, it's a week before he's getting married, and
he's working.
He's working.
Yep,
and can you do that? Another question. Can you do that and then straighten up and fly right from then on if you're getting married? I think if it's the week before you're married, then it's pretty obvious that there's no way it's ever going to work. So I'll add this. Is there a guy out there who the week before his wedding Hey, you're not married yet.
Were you a dog up until that ring went on your finger?
And then you were perfect.
Oh.
1-800-252-1025. Barry.
Good morning. You know, you got to get away from someone like that. I would rat the guy out.
Rat him out.
Because your turn will come. Understand that. With immorality, your turn will come. He'll pull something on you, too, later.
Of course he will.
So you not only disassociate yourself, but you go and tell his wife-to-be what kind of guy he is?
I had a friend when I was in the Marine Corps. I got transferred back from Iwakuni, Japan, and this guy walked up to me, and we were in the barracks, the holding area, and he goes, you want to go smoke a doobie? So we did. He ended up becoming a good friend of mine. He would come in the morning, and like a Sunday morning, he would take me out to brunch. And I wondered how this guy was doing it, because he also bought a Sportster at the same time, and he had a family. You know, he had a wife and two kids. Well, after about a year and a half, he went temporary duty one time, and I went on the weekend. He was supposed to be out in 29 Palms on the week and come home on the weekends. Well, on the weekend, I went to his house, and his wife had always been a little bit standoffish, and I could never figure out what was going on. But I went over to the house. He was supposed to be there. She let me in. She goes, Barry, I don't know where he's at. I haven't heard from him in 3 weeks. I don't have any milk for the kids. And we got talking and talking and talking. This guy had been running around on her and taking me to brunch and stuff, and his kids didn't have milk. I was just humiliated that I sat there and ate, like, steak and eggs and stuff, brunch breakfast, drank champagne, and this guy's kids were going without milk. I was humiliated.
Yeah.
And I moved her back to her parents' house. About a week later, this guy comes strolling into my apartment with another girl. Hadn't even contacted the family yet. Thought they were still living in the apartment. I took him into the bathroom and told him exactly what I thought of him and pointed him down the road. And she used me for a rebound, but that was cool. I mean,
you know, a woman like that.
It's a common thread in these, isn't it?
Yeah, she needs loving, you bet.
Yeah, you were just performing a little, you were helping her out. You were giving her a little grief counseling.
Basically, that's the way it started out, and then it kind of got out of hand. And I felt bad about that, but you've got to get away from them because your turn.
Get back on the moral high ground for a moment.
Right. he's coming to get.
I'm with you, Barry. Thank you, Steve in Newcastle.
Good morning, Bob.
How you doing, Steve? Would you defend a friend who was cheating just before he got married?
No, I would not defend a friend who was cheating before they just got married, but I'd like to make a point here that I think came up in the first caller's comments. It's kind of interesting the things that come out when you begin to judge other people that come out in yourselves, because who would actually go out and date your brother's ex? I mean, there's a little
if they're an ex,
right there, right?
If they're an ex, it's not a violation of any statute that I have.
I'll buy retread tires for some life left on them. I don't care.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question then. If you are this guy's best man, and you're probably a good friend, and at what point do you start judging and stop judging your friend? I mean, you don't have
I judge to, my friends constantly.
Okay, this is kind of like the abortion thing. If you don't like abortion, don't have one. You don't have to participate in your friend's activities, and you don't have to support them, and maybe if they continue to be this kind of person, then they're not your friend. And
I disagree with you. I think judging people is fine. If I think people shouldn't have abortions and I judge that they're all making a mistake, that's, you know, I'm not going to hurt them for it, but for me, that's fine. I like judging people. Judging people is great. Whoever told you judging people is bad?
How
else are you
going to
have standards?
First. Just like the guy that first called him, it sounded like he had an agenda before he even went into this thing with this other gal, right?
Well, I don't think. We don't have no way of knowing that. He might have not had an agenda until she was suddenly available.
Okay, I disagree with the debauchery and this sort of thing and infidelity and all that stuff, but I'm saying that we can probably all be better people if we look at ourselves first.
I like that, Steve. Thank you. Jeff, Tacoma.
Yeah, Bob.
You're up.
I agree with the last caller, and I'd like to add a little bit more to it. You know, there's kind of an unwritten rule amongst men, and the same goes for women.
You're not going to use that horrible phrase, are you?
Well, no, I'm not using the horrible phrase, but it's the truth. And I'm not gonna think out on a friend of mine just because he had a thing gone a weekend or a night before his wedding. He's not married.
You know what? I came into this with the same mentality you have right now, but having heard what Bob had to say and what everybody else was saying on the phone, if you don't step up and tell this guy how stupid what he's doing is, he's going to do it to his wife, and he's going to ruin his whole life. A friend's got to be there for a guy like this who doesn't know right from wrong. That's what friends are for, to slap some sense into your head. You know?
That is a bunch of crap.
Really?
That is a bunch of crap.
You don't think you want your friend to tell you when you're screwing up? Isn't what friends are supposed to be there for, when you're at a moral low point, to reach down and give you a hand back into the real world?
That doesn't even pertain to this. That doesn't even pertain to this. Just like the three guys before me. Those two guys were sitting in the wings, the one brother waiting for his other brother to screw up so he could jump in and snatch up his girlfriend. And the other guy did the same thing to his friend. Those two guys knew what they were doing.
Profit from doing the right thing, does that make it the wrong thing?
That's called karma.
The problem is, they knew what they were doing. It wasn't an accident.
But... It seems to me...
And you two guys know it.
Well, the way this whole thing started was we were talking about, would you be the guy's best man? Now, that's...
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd stand right up at the wedding and you'd say...
I love this guy!
You'd do the toast, the whole deal. You'd clink the glasses.
Sure I would.
This is to Marjorie and John. Good thing Marjorie's hard of hearing. Showing him creeping out late at night. It's a God's gift.
Absolutely.
Yes, and the kids they have, whoever they might end up looking like.
What would you do? Would you be his best man? 1-800-252-1025. It's called Freak Leak, by the way. Very nice, very pleasant. Tim in Seattle, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, Tim.
What was that?
Tim. Tim, would you stay a best man for your friend if he had a fling the week before his wedding?
I don't think I could. I think that engagement, marriage are both commitments to a woman, and so you should have respect for her if you're going to commit to be with her for the rest of your life. And so that said, I don't think it's appropriate or acceptable to be fooling around. And so I'd rebuke him and be like, you know, you can't do that. And I think that's what a real friend should do.
The kind of friends that would stay with the guys like that and be their best man wouldn't understand what the word rebuke means. They wouldn't know the word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would you tell the wife-to-be, or would you make up some excuse like, oh, an uncle from overseas died, I got to go to the funeral?
No, I would take him aside and just like, you know, this is what, I know what's going on.
You tell her.
I think it's unacceptable. I can't really make, I'm not sure if I would tell the wife to be or not.
Okay.
I'm not really sure if that's my place, but I definitely think that I would tell him, you know, that's wrong and he can't do that.
Nice guy. Thank you, Tim. Dana in Bothell.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I tuned in a few minutes ago and heard the conversation, and number one, what a jackass. You do not do that. You need to have some respect for the relationship, for the girl you're going to marry, and even if it is not, the ring is not on their fingers, that's a relationship that has been there, is solid enough to where they think they're getting married. You stay away. You don't do that. That's just crap. And if I was going to be the best man, even though obviously I wouldn't be, you would tell them. I think as a woman, I would want to know that my husband-to-be was cheating on me, and that's what it is.
So you would want to know. You would want to be told.
I wouldn't want to spend the rest of my life with someone that was going to do that with me. There's absolutely no excuse.
Okay, well, let's say you're at a bachelorette party, and you're the maid of honor, and the bride-to-be over there at Mr. Wiggles' Happy Fun Dance Room gets her hand caught in the G-string of a dancer on stage, and she ends up, you know, stepping out. Couple days before the wedding, do you still show up as the maid of honor?
I would have a serious talk with my best friend, and it would be
wait
something...
Wait a minute, that's not... Wait a minute, all of a sudden you were sure if it was the guy. Now you're just going to have a serious talk? I'm scared.
I would have a very serious talk with my best friend, and would have a very, very, very difficult time standing up there saying, I believe in this marriage.
So you would do it, but you'd have a difficult time.
What he was doing.
Okay.
You would do it, though, wouldn't you?
I think I would tell him. As hard as that would be, I would tell the... her soon-to-be husband.
You just pushed her in.
And I don't think I would be able to stand up there on the altar with them in support of their marriage when 3 days ago she was doing that at the bachelorette party.
Even if it was a really big wedding with, like, hundreds of people and a big cake.
What if they had tents and bands and all these people? Then you would be...
Doesn't matter all the pomp and circumstance. What matters is the bottom-line relationship. And if you're in it just for the big party, you're not in it for the right reasons anyway.
So now you got this groom on your hands... Her husband-to-be is crushed. He's crushed. His the love of his life just stepped out on him, and he's crying on your shoulder. You start having some of that free champagne. Do you do him?
Do I do him?
Yeah.
Is that what you ask?
Yes.
No. I would take care of him and comfort him.
That's great.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the way these things usually go, what we've been finding out.
We didn't mean for anything to happen.
No.
Things just got out of hand.
They were going to use that pillow for rings. Now look at it.
No. That's still someone that cared about my best friend, and I don't know. I wouldn't know why she would do that.
There would be an appropriate waiting period, right, Dana?
No, I don't think I would do it anyways. That's just hands off.
Thanks, Dana. Jack in Seattle. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I'm the guy. I asked the lady to marry me. She sets the date. I'm free up to that date.
Really?
Yeah.
Idiot. You can't do that. You can't do that.
What do you mean you can't do that?
Well, why would you commit? Why don't you just wait and propose to her the day before the wedding then? Why do you do
it
now?
That's fine by me. If I'm giving her the choice of when she wants to get married, she puts it off however long she wants to, then... That's fine.
Until you've actually said your vows?
Yeah. Until the ink's dry, there's no contract.
But this is all hypothetical. You don't have a girlfriend right now, right?
No,
he
doesn't.
No. I've been married 27 years.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I take back my idiot comment.
This guy has a rare chance to step out and say something manly. He's going to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
She's not listening.
You've been married 3 times?
Yeah.
And the last one, 27 years, or 27 years combined?
Yeah, the second and third one are the same person. But, yeah.
So you got married, got divorced, so you could go out for a while, and then you got remarried to the same person.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's too bad you couldn't do that with a simple online transition. I'm divorcing you for Friday night. We'll remarry on Sunday.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, Jack.
The Army gives you a weekend pass.
Marcy in Lake Stevens. Marcy.
Hi. The question that I have and that nobody's mentioned to this point is, how do you look that woman in the face for the duration of your friendship knowing that her husband was messing around on her? I mean, there's a conscience issue here, I would think. I would have a really hard time lying, because basically you're just lying to us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you, and that's part of the main reason is just because about 16 years ago, discovered that I could no longer lie intentionally. I still lie by accident once in a while. And someone says, where were you? And I can't remember. Or whatever. But I can't lie on purpose anymore. And so what I would do in a conversation is I would end up spilling the beans by accident, just like we'd all be hanging out, and I'd say, hey.
Yeah, but when you got your head caught last year, was that? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Oh, boy. Oh, geez. Is that out loud? Oh, God.
So I don't like to be around anybody where I can't just say freely. Mm-hmm. It's so freeing to be around people where you can say whatever you think. And if you start keeping secrets, then you have to, the whole tangled web thing comes into play.
I have a very hard time talking to somebody when I know something's going on, and I know it's probably not my place to say anything, but it would make me really uncomfortable.
Did you see the movie?
Go on. Pardon?
Did you see the movie we're talking about? We're talking about the movie Sideways.
No, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay. You've got to rent it tonight.
The deal in this movie is that the best man doesn't think much of the bride-to-be. He thinks that this woman's leading the groom around by his nose. So that's kind of why he's able to just hang out and let him be an ass.
still, it would just be difficult to stand up and be part of the wedding, and like you said, make the toast and good luck, and knowing that, God knows, 2-3 years down the road, something's going to happen, and you knew about it. It would make me really uncomfortable.
Good luck, Linda. You're going to need it.
Thank you, Marcy. Walter in Mill Creek. Hello, Walter.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, you know, my point that I want to make is that, you know, most guys that are going to do something like this, they've done it in the past. You know, they just don't become a cheater, you know, a weekend or a week before they get married. And if
I don't know if that's
moral,
I don't know if you can assume that, but go ahead.
Well, you know, it's just something that doesn't come over a guy, in my opinion, the weekend before he gets married. I think it's something that he's done in the past. If he's going to do something like that, he's done something else morally wrong. And if you've got some issues, I think you've put up with those issues up to that point. So I don't know. I think I agree. I think you should say something to him that it's.
Yeah, but are you sort of saying that she picked him? So you know, hey, if you
I'm saying you picked him as a friend.
You picked him as a friend.
You've dealt with him with all these problems up to this point. You know, and you're gonna make this one thing be the deal breaker for your friendship. So I think he's done morally wrong things in the past.
All right, but does that mean? Does that mean you should stay with him since you're already staying with him as a friend?
Well, you kind of made your bet. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you put up with him up to this point, I think you stay in there for this.
I think you can unpick a friend any moment you choose, and it should be of your choosing.
Well, my point is, I think he's, you know, a cheater has done in the past. I don't think the guy. Oh,
so what? If I just discovered it now. Poof.
Yeah, and
you're
some
gone.
People only cheat once, I would think. I mean, not all murderers are serial killers.
Disagree.
Yeah.
I completely disagree. Disagree.
Can someone cheat once? We'll have to save that for another day, Walter.
Yeah, well, you know, Bob, you and I were ex-drunks, and we knew a lot of people in the past that did some things when they were drinking that they shouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you know, it's guys that do that kind of stuff, they usually have a pretty good track record of it. And it's just something, you know, now if the guy was completely obliterated, drunk, and he didn't know what he was doing, I might give him that one. But, you know, it's just something they don't typically decide to do, and they've never done it before. Right. I just
Well, you know, when you say usually is a weird word. I mean, Michael Jackson usually has kids over for a sleepover, but that isn't enough to convict him. We may find that out.
Usually lets them keep their pants on.
Thank
usually.
You. Usually. Thank you, Walter. Supermodel Rachel Hunter's career began with the 1989 Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Continues with Rachel having graced the cover of pretty much every magazine sold in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, and America. Rachel's also found the time to marry, have two great kids, and then unmarry Rod Stewart. She's also done a great deal of acting with regular roles on Suddenly Susan, Drew Carey, and in last year's video that made her very popular with the entire new generation as Stacy's mom. Rachel Hunter, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You look great.
Thank you.
You and still actually quite young. When it's Rod Stewart, I think of as, you know, kind of old. So, but he
married a young girl.
And he's engaged
to
another one.
Again and again and again.
Again and again. It's on repeat.
I'll get this. This is the tabloid question. And I'll get it out of the way right off the bat. And I know you're probably comfortable with it because you know, you're like the female Simon Cowell, they say. But did you have any idea that, I mean, you must have thought that you would be with Rod Stewart forever, right?
Yeah. I mean, you go into a marriage thinking that, without a doubt. Absolutely.
And you have two beautiful children?
Yes, we do.
And are you still friends with him?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of leads his life and I lead mine. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of where it's at. I mean, I don't really... People are so fascinated by the whole thing.
Well,
it's like...
Well, we love beautiful people, you know? We do.
Thank you.
Well, once you're divorced, you definitely don't think he's sexy, I would guess.
I don't know.
I don't think he's sexy.
He's not hot in my book. Yeah.
I always looked at him and said, how could he get girls like Rachel Hunter? I mean, I never...
All right, we'll move on now because we're here to talk about you. You've been on so many magazine covers. What's it like to see yourself on a magazine cover?
I mean, when I first came to the States, I was 17, and when I was brought up from New Zealand to New York with Ford, and you know, I mean, it would just happen really, really fast for me. I mean, it was, you know, Elle magazine, and then Harper's and Vogue, and you know, CoverGirl and Revlon, and like Sports Illustrated. So it kind of like completely happened, and you know, at a young age. So I kind of just was. You don't sit there and kind of gloat over your own success, you know. I mean, you kind of just keep going and keep, you know, doing more things. I mean, it's weird, I mean, to see your face, you know. And I remember when my Elle magazine cover came out, I was like, oh, my God. And then you just kind of walk on and...
You do walk by. I mean, you travel a lot, naturally, mm-hmm. in your profession. And so you're in the airports. And in the airports, there's like rows of you. Must be weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think about it. I just kind of just block things out. I mean, that's my job. I mean, it's like saying to you guys, go home and tape your show and look back at it, you know?
Yeah, and if we did that, we would be really sick. I agree.
Okay. You know what I mean? It's like you just kind of ignore it in some ways.
Do you have a good airport disguise?
Oh, come on. I know one of you do. You go back and tape the show.
I do.
Do you have a good disguise? Like when you're walking through an airport, it must be hard to get to a gate without people stopping you.
No, it's not. No, it's not like that. I mean, I think it's more of those types of things are probably more for the reality stars right now, you know? I mean, I don't know. I think if you surround yourself with loads of bodyguards and have some big whole thing going on, then that's going to attract attention to you. But, you know, I mean, you just, I walk through an airport or walk through anywhere and deal, and some places get a little bit, you know, funny, and the people start running after you for autographs or say stuff, and sometimes it doesn't. It just depends.
I can tell you she's telling the truth, Joe, because, Rachel, I walked right past you at LAX about 2 years ago. You were just standing at the curb waiting for a car. And
spotted her?
My buddy and Greg and I walked by, and this dropped dead, our heads spun around like whiplash. Because you're just stunning. We're like, man, that's Rachel Hunter, and she's got no entourage, no nothing.
Which do you prefer, Rachel, your modeling or your acting? If you had to give up one, which would you give up?
Modeling's done me too well. I couldn't bite the hand that feeds me. I think I was really, really lucky there. It's not something that I really wanted. I didn't want to do that as a job. I actually danced for some time, and that's what I wanted to do. So, I don't know. I mean, the acting side of it, I did study drama as a kid, and that's what I wanted to, you know, part of me wanted to do the whole drama and dance and all that kind of stuff. So, but at the same time, modeling's just been too good to me, you know.
Rachel, much success. Supermodel Rachel Hunter. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Remember the Disney movie All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Sure. Dom DeLuise, Burt Reynolds.
You didn't see that?
I don't. That's the one Disney movie I don't think I've got around to written yet with Emily.
There's a guy in St. Louis who thinks that a more accurate title should have been All Dogs Go to Heaven Except Those Who've Had Their Testes Removed, in which case they are damned straight to hell.
I might not let my kid see that, Flem.
Oren Ambus is his name, and he's been in a huge fight with St. Louis officials ever since his 9-month-old Rottweiler ran away 2 weeks ago. He was picked up by animal control officers. City policy. I don't know if we have this policy here. City policy says any runaway dog that's picked up will be returned to its owner after...
I know that the Humane Society, they don't let an animal out. They don't let an animal out of there without, you
know,
a
snip?
Taking care of it first in any way.
Before you get your dog back,
you're not getting the whole dog back.
It's I don't know if the dog makes a noise or not. I think the dog is under. And Oren is saying he believes, and he's quoting the Bible, so we have some Bible experts on the show. We don't often ask for your help, but today we might need it. He's quoting the Bible, Leviticus chapter 22, where it says, animals must be left untouched if they're going to get entrance into heaven. You know, all of my parochial school and everything, I can't recall a policy about animals getting into heaven. It was never brought up. And
and the Bible's been translated and retranslated, it could have gotten confused. I think it was more like you shall not touch, you know, if you want to get into heaven the first time.
Maybe it means you shouldn't go at each other like animals or you won't get into heaven.
I wouldn't take it literally. I mean, saying you can't.
Well, he does. He believes that if he lets the city castrate his dog will go to hell. So he's fighting it on religious grounds.
He'll win. That's asinine, but he'll win.
You think he'll win?
He'll win. You know, it's such a third rail religion. You can't. You cannot screw with somebody's religious beliefs or rights. You can't.
Leviticus 22:23 reads, quote, either a bullock. Apparently Sandra Bullock would be a bullock, I don't know. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Rich in Bremerton has read the Bible 7 times. Rich?
Hey, Bob Spector, OKC. All right. Yes, now that I heard you quote that verse, what he's talking about is the animals that were supposed to be offered up to sacrifice. And this is all Old Testament, you know, under the Jewish law. Not, it doesn't mention anything about those animals getting into heaven. It's just if you're going to offer something to God, he doesn't want dented bodywork, chipped paint, and Bondo.
Right. He doesn't want
God
a second.
Does not, a neutered calf will not be a willing or acceptable sacrifice to God.
Right.
Is that it? Okay.
He doesn't want a three-legged lamb. He wants the, you know, a healthy one of your best out of your
wants one
flock
with fleece as white as snow.
Right. Right. That's a reasonable interpretation.
Yes.
Oren, can I ask you then, do dogs go to heaven?
Well, our belief is that animals have a soul, but it's not an eternal one. They feel emotions. What we call a soul, we believe, is the seat of emotions. And, of course, a lot of animals are capable of emotions. If you have a pet, you know they are. Oh. But we don't believe it's an eternal soul.
Most of the emotion that my dog has is, please feed me human food. That's right. It's a strong emotion.
Begging.
Hey, so, yeah.
Cows don't go to heaven. You got to eat in heaven.
Depends on your religion.
You got to eat in heaven, right?
Yeah. Actually, there is some Bible backing that up. But,
yeah.
You know, why would they go to heaven just so they could be eaten there, you know? I mean, come on.
It might be heaven for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Oren is citing in his, now, should he get off? Should his dog escape the... He's citing the First Amendment, saying his right to freedom of religion extends to his dog, and the neutering ordinance violates both their constitutional rights. The city is reviewing the case.
I don't blame him for fighting it, but I don't think he's got the Bible to back him up on that one. I can't really blame him for trying, though.
All right, Rich, thank you.
Did it say what the breed was?
Rottweiler.
That's a devil dog, literally, anyway. I mean, that is a hellhound. Those are the meanest... I don't know. I mean, I don't want to stereotype them, but those
no,
are...
No, not at all. When you say hellhound, we understand it's just a colloquialism. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's not a French poodle or something. God. I mean, you would expect to see in heaven.
Oh.
I would think if you, like, had a childhood dog or something, and your vision of heaven is, you know, reuniting with your dog...
Your favorite pet, yeah.
You'd see him up there.
I do too. I think, first off, forget the whole biblical aspect of this. Does the city have the right to neuter your dog just because it got lost?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Why?
Because an animal who has been chapped has less aggressive tendencies, and if you've shown a habit to let your dog run...
I didn't say this dog didn't attack anybody. It didn't have anybody's toddler for an afternoon snack. It just got lost. My question was, if your dog just gets lost, should they be able to neuter it before they bring it back to you, against your wishes? Maybe you pay more if they don't neuter. You know, you pay a little fine for having them give it back, and you don't pay the fine if we neuter it. That right. I would be okay with, because then it would be voluntary. I don't think anything should be involuntarily neutered anyway. I mean, I think the dog should have a paw print on some sort of document that agreed to the thing.
Is that your puppet?
How about if you've got like an AKC Chinese pug male? He's like a prime breeder. You're getting $700 a puppy from this guy. The little guy just happened to crawl under the fence once and get loose. I mean, should you lose all that good breeding? Should he lose his...
That's a very good point. I say no. 1-800-252-1025. Dan.
Hello,
Dan. Go ahead.
Hey, I think this guy should fight the city... Not on that, what he's doing. That's a little bit far out there, because that reference has nothing to do with what his situation is. But mainly, you should find him on the premise that that's his private property, and anybody finds your property, they need to return it intact.
Huh.
But if you're there are animal ordinances.
Yeah, but this is still his private property. That actually should supersede anything they've got written, because that is his property.
Dan, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't answer that.
It'd be like the city impounding your car, but before you get it back, they take your stereo.
But your stereo's not going to reproduce and make six other stereos.
It's not a pet.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably an investment.
Thank you. Karen in Redmond, go. Karen?
Hello, Karen.
I believe we've lost Karen. We'll see if she's back. 1-800-252-1025. The dog wanders off. It's picked up. The city of St. Louis won't give it back until they neuter it. Huh. He's fighting on religious grounds, which I agree. Hey, whatever your religion is, if it's not hurting anybody, and if it's about not hurting anybody, I'd respect it. I'd give him the dog back. I don't think the dog should be neutered anyway unless you agree to it. I'm all for fines and all sorts of, you know, encouragements to neuter the dog. But what if you have this prize dog and, you know, like you want it to give you puppies?
Well, you probably should keep it on a leash or keep it in a
fence. Duh, but it just got lost once. Raymond in Puyallup.
Yes.
Raymond, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't agree with their city ordinances, because I was living back in Kansas at one time. I had a dog and she used to run away. I'd chain her up and do everything I possibly could to keep her from getting away. And one time she got away, and I took a picture down to the dog pound, told them if they see the dog, if they have her, go ahead and give me a call. And they charged me a fine. I think it was like $60 to get her out of jail. And I went down there, and they called me about 3 days later and said, well, if you don't come down and get your dog, we're going to put her to sleep. And I'm like, what do you mean put her to sleep? I threatened them with the lawsuit and everything. I totally disagree with that.
Well, I'm fine with fines. And I'm also fine with a deadline before your dog gets put to sleep. So, what, you couldn't get down there to get your dog? If you don't care about it enough after a certain waiting period, you know.
Yeah, but it wasn't the point that I wasn't able to get down there. I took pictures down there to tell them, hey, if you find my dog, let me know. Call me and let me know. And then they call me 3 days later and tell me that they're going to put her to sleep.
And how many days' notice did they give you?
I received it... like a day before, that they were going to have put her to sleep.
They gave you till tomorrow, even though they knew
sundown.
You wanted...
Sundown.
Sundown.
Yeah, that's right.
That is pretty harsh.
This is a stupid little town, Andover in Kansas. I mean, it's like 2,000 people live in there. And that's what they did. But I got her out. I went down there. As soon as I got the notice, I went down and got her out of jail. I mean, it's just like one of my children. I mean, if one of my children get lost, I don't expect the cops to take and whack them up.
Thank you, Raymond. Marie.
Hi.
You're on.
Okay. I think the dog should be neutered. This is more than a case of the dog just got lost. This dog was out wandering around, loose.
That's what lost is to a dog.
Well, yes, but it was out wandering around long enough to get picked up by animal control.
Right. How is that not the dog just got away once?
Because if my dog got out, I would sure be after it looking for it.
Is that a cat I hear in the background?
Yes, I met a veterinarian.
You're a cat person.
You're at a vet club.
Well, just wants old dogs.
All dogs have been neutered.
No, yeah, you just hate dogs.
They're
a dog hater.
Shoved under their nails.
Yeah, I have two dogs. I work at a veterinary clinic, and I happen to be back in the cat room right now.
What if the person wants their dog to reproduce and doesn't want it neutered? You'd say, too bad.
If you
You're like
have
the Wicked
a dog
Witch.
That you want to breed, then you should be darn sure that dog doesn't get out.
Yeah, but dogs are clever, and accidents do happen, and you just want to absolutely whack And I do mean whack that dog's family line forever.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
The dog was Gestapo here.
The dog was loose and running around.
Why don't...
Now, if I have a female dog in my backyard that happens to be in heat, and this Rottweiler jumps the fence, and now I have Rottweiler poodle puppies, what am I going to do with those?
How about a three strikes and you're whacked law?
Who let the dogs out?
In St. Louis, I'm not sure about here, but in St. Louis, if they get your dog, the dog catcher gets your dog, it will come back to you only after it's been neutered. And it's apparently a very strict policy, and there's a guy suing over it. You think that they have the right to neuter your dog just because it got out first time? I could see repeat offender, maybe. Jay and Bonnie Lake, go.
Hey, Bob. I guess my take on it is they're trying to save the dog's life. I mean, I'm not a religious whack job, but I know a few. And it sounds to me like if this guy gets his dog back, he's going to sacrifice it.
What?
Because of the Bible.
He's following the Bible, the Old Testament. It says offer it as a sacrifice to the Lord.
I think maybe he's trying to twist the interpretation of the Bible
just
to keep the dog
pet,
alive.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to sacrifice.
Probably more likely.
Like I say, I'm not a hyper-religious person, but my brother, he's a fanatical, and we get into these discussions, and I say I get all my religious experience from my nose-picking brother. That way I can't take it too serious, because I know where he's from. We grew up together.
Sure. There's an ordinance I'd like to see people neutered for, too.
This is my brother.
Excessive nose-picking.
Yeah, we picked him up for nose-picking, Mrs. Johnson.
Third
Sorry
time.
About his
nards. Take it too serious.
Third time, but he won't be contributing to the gene pool in the future. What if you applied? Thank you. That is true. That is a literal interpretation of what the Bible says, as verified by our Bible thumper earlier. Dwayne in Algona.
Hello?
Dwayne, go ahead.
Yeah. I know it.
This reminds me of doing a one of those crossword puzzles, or one of those
wheel.
Yeah, the third word was "duh," eighth word was "git."
Sorry, Dwayne. Bill in Redmond, go.
Yeah, I wish I could confirm it, but there was a story on the radio a while back that said the town of San Antonio put down 50,000 stray dogs a year, and. The guy should be keeping control of his dog. If his dog was aggressive and he attacked somebody while he was out, they would kill it. So he's responsible for taking care of his dog.
Right, but you're dancing around the issue talking about other dogs. I'm talking about this dog. It's loose. It's loose. Let's assume it's loose once. And they basically say you can't have it back unless we whack its testes. What do you think about that? Is that legitimate? Is that reasonable?
Well, I do think it's legitimate because, if towns have to put down that many dogs a year because the strays are reproducing, and he's just contributing to that problem. He needs to have his testes clipped so he can't contribute.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Please let me be a man.
No, let him go out and play. Most men get fixed now at some point in their life just so they can play without the penalty.
Let's put a human aspect on this. At what point should we neuter humans? If someone gets an underage girl pregnant, do you say you can have him back as soon as we've neutered him?
Yeah, I think anybody who's convicted of rape should lose it.
And that's an easy one, but I'm talking about various other irresponsible behaviors. I mean, how many men are like dogs, running around to the clubs, impregnating women left and right, not very careful? Should we neuter all of them, if they get caught before they get let back into, their keepers?
If you fathered three kids out of wedlock, you lose it?
According to St. Louis, it would be the first time you would lose it.
Chopping things off for crime, it just doesn't seem too American. I mean, it's something you think about, more backwards countries.
Where there's no crime, and the crime rate's so low because they do that. Yeah, what a horrible backward land that must be.
Sean in Everett.
Yes, I think we can all agree that there are certain men that should be neutered before they're released in the public, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Any former presidents come to mind?
I wonder what the status of this dog is. Is he just sitting in a cage? I mean, if they're going to neuter every dog, why don't they do it when they come right into the pound? Why is he sitting here waiting for his fate? I mean, poor guy.
I think they want you to pay the fine to pay for the neuter. Brian in Olympia.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Go ahead.
I actually don't think the dog should be neutered on the grounds of a behavioral change. I mean, I know in several cases that a dog, male or female, it's neutered or spayed, and it really alters their you know, it can make them timid, and it can make them whatever. And it's like, if you take my dog and it's not hurting anybody, now granted, you know, a dog getting out, is you should be penalized for that because you weren't whatever containing it properly, and so you should be penalized, which around here you are. The dog goes to the animal services and you don't get it back for you know, you got to pay $45-$50 or whatever. And it's like that made me, you know, that taught me my lesson with my dog, and now I make sure she doesn't get out. But if my dog, I mean, she happens to be spayed, but if she wasn't, I definitely wouldn't want her to change her personality. And yeah. I know in several
And how
cases,
fair is it? What if the dog's already neutered? It's like, you can't do anything to me.
Yeah,
what are you
exactly.
Take next. I'm their paw.
All right, thank you. Christina is in Lakewood. Christina, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I think they should definitely neuter or spay the animals.
Really? Thoughtlessly neuter, even if the owner is begging, please, no.
Well, you know, they're animal control. They're in the business of controlling the animal population. If you can't keep your animal in confinement, if it gets out, God only knows what it's doing. You know, they got to take steps to prevent.
Would you do the same to rowdy men?
Boy, I'd like to, but I guess I couldn't.
You know, gropers, feelers, improper touching, that kind of
former
stuff.
Former governors, former congressmen.
Sure.
Oh, I just carry mace. I don't worry. I don't need to cut anything off there.
Thank you, Christina.
You ever had to use it?
No.
Good.
I got a fast mouth.
Does the mace have an expiration date? Best if used by?
Third drink.
You know, I don't.
You better check. So if you've never used your mace and that time comes along and you are, you know, you become a congressional page or something, you might.
Well, I got a big scary guy on my arm now, so I don't need to carry these things.
Go. Oh, good.
I just pull him out.
Thank you, Christina. Floyd, or is it Floyd? No, it's Lloyd. Lloyd, hello, Lloyd.
How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I got a couple things for you. First of all, they don't sacrifice dogs in the Bible. Dogs are an unclean animal in the Bible, and they're not used for sacrifices to God.
Yeah, I wonder when they noticed that, huh? The dogs are an unclean
animal. He's eating his own crap, Moses. He's eating his own crap.
Yeah, and second of all, you know, as far as the government neutering people's animals, you know, I agree that there's something needs to be done about animals being out on the loose. You know, we have so many kids who are attacked by roaming dogs. We have people's property getting attacked by roaming dogs. I think something needs to be done. But as far, you know, if they catch the dog, they should you know, lock them away, say that they got so many days to come pick them up, or they're going to put them down. But as far as cutting their manhood off. You know, I think that, you know, like somebody there had said, you know, it's like taking somebody's stereo
right. If
their car gets impounded.
Yeah, well, they keep their kibble, they remove their bits, if you know what I mean.
There we go.
Thank you.
That's horrible.
Mike in Mill Creek, Mike.
Yeah, if the dog is getting loose, don't you think that the owner's responsible? Why don't they neuter the owner?
If you're going to make someone responsible, it is the owner.
That's right. It won't happen again, will it?
I don't know.
Wow.
Thank you, Mike. That's enough of that.